concepts that we call. So we heard about this, which is the customer lifetime value or the CLV. It is the total predictable revenue a business can make from a customer during their lifetime as a paying customer. Some benefits of monitoring CLV, including identify high-value customer, determine how much to invest in the acquisition, and build brand loyalty. Or customer lifetime, the calculation for customer lifetime value basically goes to average purchase value into average purchase frequency into average customer lifespan or the ACL. So we have average purchase value, which is AVP, average purchase frequency, which is APF, and average customer lifespan, which is ACL. So what does the customer lifetime value say? That if I have been a customer with whatever brand that you're talking about, maybe let's take a mobile customer, or in my case, let's take the Samsung, because I've been using the Samsung Galaxy series for almost since the S7, so close to more than 10, 15 years, and I've not shifted from that. So if I the Samsung has to treat me, it would treat me as a within the customer lifetime value. How would it calculate my value? That how much on an average do I pay for the handset? What is the frequency at which I'm buying a new handset? And what is the time that I've spent with the organization? So if I'm not buying it very frequently, which I don't, so then my lifetime value goes down. So then the customer will define, the organization will define how much do they need to invest in me to give me brand loyalty, how many offers do they need to be giving, and all of that. So that is what you'll see with most of the brands, that as you become a bigger customer with them, at times they give you deals and all, which is not very commonly available. So that is because of the building acquisition, the amount invested in getting the acquisition. So someone else who probably buys a handset every year or every 2 years would have a higher lifetime value than me. Now that we've understood the customer lifetime value, let's look at how the calculation would go about with the customer life. How do you calculate the average purchase value and the average purchase frequency? So here you see is the total predictable revenue a business can make from a customer during their lifetime as a paying customer. So this is what we just spoke about, where AFP is equal to, which is average purchase frequency, is nothing but number of purchases divided by the number of unique customers. Then we have the ACL, which is the customer average customer lifespan, which talks about sum of customer lifespans and divided by number of customers. Then what is the lifespan is equal to 1 divided by the churn rate. So how frequently are the customers churning out of the organization? CLV also can be calculated using gross margin, which is, so gross margin is nothing but total revenue minus cost of goods sold. That's what COGS basically stands for. So this is the calculation where I have AVP into AVP, AVPF into ACL into gross margin. So there is multiplication over here, additional multiplication with gross margin that is done, which is nothing but total revenue minus cost of goods sold divided by total revenue into 100. So now the various calculation to CLV that we had. So let's look at all of them, and these are, there are examples, so we'll just go through them. We have something called as ARPU, which is average, sorry, okay, which is nothing but average rate per user. So average revenue per user. So you have total revenue in a specified period. So what is the, you have to define a period and calculate what was the total revenue that was during that period, and you divide it by number of customers during that period. So if I take a period from, say, maybe Jan 2013, 23 to December 2033, which is a year, then what is the total revenue we earned during that period divided by the number of customers that we had during that period. So any customer who quits, and this calculation obviously can be done only after 31st. So any customer who quits before 31st would bring down the number of customers. So suppose 16 customers brought about $2 lakh in revenue for a business over 3 months. So what does ARP becomes? $2 lakh divided by 16, which comes to $12,500. Then how much they will bring for in a year, which is 12 months. So ARP for 3 months. And here if you see that what we have done is we have calculated the ARP. We have calculated the ARPU for 3 months because this is for 3 months. So we are using that. So here we are very clearly defining to get 12 months, it has to be 3 into 4, which is 12 months. So we know the ARP value for 3 months is 12,500 into 4. Now understand, this is based on the ARPU for 3 months. So if the ARPU for 3 months, 2 months had been to say 12,500, then I would need, instead of multiplying it by 4, I would need to multiply it by 6 and get the relevant figure that comes. So you get $50,000 per year per customer based on this ARPU for 3 months. Now cohort analysis takes the ARPU method further by grouping together customers who made their first purchase during the same month and have similar characteristics. If you have a large enough data set, you can use cohort analysis to calculate the average revenue for specific cohorts. So what I'm going to do now about cohort analysis talks about is basically grouping of data together. So when I'm grouping of data is, suppose I say out of these 3 months, there are certain set of customers who made their purchase in the first 1 month. So I would group all of these purchases together. Then someone made their first purchase in the second month. Again, group all these people together and similarly. Now, what does cohort analysis say? I can calculate if the data set is large enough and I have a large number of people, I can again calculate the average revenue for the specific groups or the specific cohorts that I've made. Then we cut down to the predictive approach. What does the predictive approach talk about? Predictive CLV is intended to measure the total value a customer will give a business eventually over their lifetime. So now I know what the customer has been spending over a lifetime. With the predictive approach, what I can do is now based on his past behavior, I can predict how much if he continues his tenure with me or his lifetime with the organization, how much money can he make with that business eventually. So I will know how much revenue that customer is going to bring to me. So what does the predictive approach talk about? Is based on historical transaction that we said, current behavior trends, such as purchase frequency. So what is the difference with that? Unlike historical CLV, which can provide only insights into what has happened before, predictive CLV helps to understand the present worth of a customer and forecast how their value will change in the future. So suppose my prediction earlier data says that I was spending a certain value. Now my current trend says I have increased that value in so many years or maybe 5 years, 10 years. And so in another 5-10 years, how much will my value increase or how much will I be buying based on that? That is what is prediction all about. This may help you launch targeted campaigns and prioritize your acquisition and engagement activities so that they can attract and retain customers with high lifetime values. So obviously someone who has, like I said earlier, someone who has a high lifetime value will earn better rewards. So predictive is T into AOV into GM into ALT divided by number of customers at the end of that particular period. So what is T? Average number of transactions per value, average order value, average gross margin, an average customer lifetime in months. So this would be mainly for most of the e-commerce website where you're basically trying to understand what is the customer lifetime value, that if this person keeps buying, what is the probability that he'll spend a high amount with us or will they come in the high paying group. So what is the traditional approach is takes margins, inflation, and retention rate into account and gives a more nuanced picture of how the CLV changes over time. So the traditional approach tells me that I'll use something called as a gross margin contribution per customer, which is the profit you expect to make over the customer lifespan. R is the retention rate, the percentage of customers who are going to stick with your business over a period of time. D is the discount rate, which is included to account for inflation. Generally, a discount rate of 10% is used for SaaS businesses, which is software as a service. So where the traditional approach also uses the retention rate and the discount rate into picture, the predictive CLV, both are a slightly different approach, but a predictive CLV might give you a more accurate answer than a traditional approach to CLV. Then we have something we call as the bounce rate. What is the bounce rate? It is the percentage of website visitors who click on the back button or leave your site after visiting any other pages other than the first one they came to. So the calculation is given there, which is that is nothing but the total number of customers who left without any interaction divided by the total number of visitors into 100. So what is the bounce rate? Suppose I went on to a website, and after going on to the website, or I got redirected from a page to a website, and most of the time, like we do, we just close it off. We do not visit anybody, any other page, or even click on anything. So even that one click on the website is part of the bounce rate. That means I have not interacted with the website at all. So that is another thing that you need to consider. Now, how do we decide marketing efficiencies? So focuses on reducing marketing costs without reducing output or result. It can be measured by calculating some of the following parameters, which is cost per action, that is CPA or cost per acquisition, click-throughs, visitor engagement, conversion, marketing effectiveness. So what does marketing efficiency talks about? It says I basically want to reduce the cost, but I want to, so maybe I want to keep the same cost, but I also want to get more customers. So if, let's say, if I spend 10,000 rupees on marketing activities, and for that marketing activities I acquired about 100 customers, so now what has my cost become? It has become 1,000 per customer. But in that 100, now let's assume that I had 10,000, and instead of 100, for calculation purposes, I acquired 1,000 customers, or 1,000 customers basically increased my sales. So that is where I've kept the cost, but my marketing efficiency has increased because now my cost per customer has become 100 rupees. Looking at it other way around, so suppose I spend 10,000, now I basically reduce it down to 1,000. And I still gain 100 customers. That means I've still spent a lesser value, which is 100 per customer. So you're not reducing the output or the results, and you're getting the same results. So cost per action, first metrics is cost per action, or the cost per, can help market understand how much their marketing efforts cost. That is what I said. So if I have 10,000 and I got 100, that means my marketing cost is 1,000 per customer. And also, when I say, I'm not just talking about people who are clicking, people who are coming to my website and making a purchase, so then you become a customer, or you're only a potential buyer. Click-throughs offer a way for marketing department to understand how well their message is resonating with the viewers. So when I say click-throughs, where did I click? How did I navigate the website? And that helps people understand what exactly is the idea that they are getting, or where exactly are the clicks for the customers going, or what exactly is the customer interested in, where exactly is he stopping. A click-through will also tell me whether a customer has completed a sale or not completed. Is he getting stuck? And often when you get stuck somewhere, you will get a message saying that, oh, you've still got stuck, did you have a problem making a payment, or things like that. Visitor engagement. Tracking visitor engagement can show marketers which website complaint or messaging is more successful, so they can replicate this in other languages to improve efficiency. It might work, it might not work. That if so, one place where customers find it engaging, the other might not. But we can always try by tracking the visitor engagement, maybe in a particular ad or in a particular app, game that is being more effective. So I might want to do it, replicate it for all the other users also of that game in different areas. Conversion are one of the simplest ways to gather whether marketing techniques are efficiently resulting in sale. That's what we said. Once you pick from a buyer potential, when you click and you buy, complete the sales, you become, it's a conversion, and that's the way to say, oh, this is, when I talk about 100 customers, I'm talking about people who came to the website and bought something, which is a conversion. Marketing effectiveness refers to measuring how much marketing activities succeed in bringing the revenue to the company. Viewed together, marketing efficiency and effectiveness are a good determination of the overall success of the marketing activities. That's what we said, that when I talk about marketing effectiveness, I'm talking about measuring the marketing activities in bringing revenue. Viewed together, marketing efficiency and effectiveness is overall success for the marketing activities. So now let's talk about the share of voice. What am I basically going to check is what is the brand awareness. When I talk about brand awareness, is like how people are aware about my brand across various marketing channels. So let's look at the definition of it. So SOV is a marketing metric that allows companies to compare brand awareness on different marketing channels against their competitors. So SOV can be used to measure how well the company's ads, social media mentions, or even the website traffic compares to the competition. That means, suppose I have a competitor, I can obviously check the website traffic that is getting diverted to their, or the number of clear visitors that that particular website has. And what I can check is what is the website that my company also has. So that way I can also, we spoke about text mining sometime back. So with text mining, I can even check how many social media mentions they have and how many social media mentions I have. So SOV can be used for competitor analysis for social media, organic traffic, or even paid advertising. So again, like I said, we are basically going to check how well aware people are of my web brand or the competitive brand on a social media website or on an organic traffic and paid advertising. Share also helps company run aware how well their brand is performing against the competition. So share of voice broadly talks about brand awareness, and especially brand awareness in competition with the competitors' brand, or how is my brand performing when it comes to the competition. So now let's understand what is share of voice versus share of market. So let's first look at what it says, then let's understand what it means. So when I say SOV measures brand awareness on a particular channel, market share is the percentage of a market that a single company controls by revenue or number of customers. The two metrics are similar in concept, calculating how well you do versus your competitors, but market share only refers to the percentage you earn with regard to sale, and SOV refers to percentage of space you earn across various marketing channels. Now, there is a very thin line of difference between share of voice versus share of market. Well, while when I talk about share of voice, I'm talking about brand awareness on a particular channel. Market share, that means I'm talking about how much is the control. Now let's look at the current scenario when I have to do Android versus maybe iOS competition. We would know that iOS probably Android would have a probably larger market share when it comes to by control of the market. So Android would own a larger part than probably iOS because mainly of the difference in prices between the two. But when it comes to share of voice, probably iOS or Apple would hold a higher percentage of this sales because you would have people talking about it on various media channels. So you have a higher percentage of space that is being owned by iOS, while even though the sales were would not be that high or share of market will not be that high. So this is how the difference is. The share of voice does not ensure sales or conversion of money, but the share of market ensures that I have customers who are into that space or are able to are buying that space. SOV formula. So what is the share of voice formula? Brands measure divided by total market measures. So what is your brand measure? So we can do find SOV for advertising, news outlets and blogs, SEO and organic search and social media. So now we can basically share, get the share of the voice or the share of brand awareness across different marketing channels in different forms. So when I talk about advertising, it says find SOV to see how much ad space a business is taking up compared to competition by dividing how well the business did in a paid marked advertising metrics such as impression shares or by the total number in the industry. So when I basically see how much brand space, so I bought a maybe a full page ad in a newspaper or for advertising, I signed up with an influencer or with a who had a higher market share or had a higher following, and I basically now will see what is the impression that I had and how many people are there in the market or how much of people are the competition in the market. The same thing, similar thing I will do for news outlets and blogs. So when I talk about news outlets and blog, it is how often the brand is mentioned across these platforms and compared to how the competitors are doing. So suppose in a news article, my brand got mentioned, or suppose, yes, in a blog, my brand got mentioned in 10 blogs, while the competitor's brand got mentioned like 4 times, or another competitor's brand got mentioned like 3 times. So what does that tell me? That I am occupying a larger share of voice or space in the market compared to other competitors, especially in the segment where I'm saying news outlets and blogs. Maybe I'm getting a lot of people to write blogs which are referring people to my brand, so they are able to do that, which is higher compared to the competitors that are there. Then I have SEO and organic search. So even SEO has a very large, the blogs have a very large share to play in the SEO market also, because the number of times it gets mentioned in the blogs, the same number of times it's going to be appearing in the SEO and the organic search. So what does that say is brand's SEO in organic search, look at the brand occurrence in several results pages, which is several results pages is SERPS. An SEO survey, SOV analysis helps in figure out which websites rank most for a key set of keywords of choice. So basically what am I doing is I am ensuring that my website has the right keywords that are basically used by the general public, and my website is appearing enough in organic searches. Mainly what you'd look for in a SEO that your brand should appear in the first page at least, because the logic being that normally when you go onto a website, when you search in Google search, there are people who barely any people who go beyond the first page. Look at when you do a Google search, you probably will not go beyond the first page of the website. So what I'll do in that case is I will basically finish off, or I will have my brand appearing on the first page. I understand there is again a difference between SEO and the difference between Google Ads. The top 3 or 5 content that you see are mainly ads from Google, and the other is your SEO search. So you want to appear in that particular space for that, if even if I'm not paying for the Google ads. Then we talk about social media, which is measure brand mentions, hashtags, reach, impressions, or even sentiment using social media tools. Calculate the same for your competition and all add all that together and divide your company score with the market score to get a SOV for social media. How do I reach out in my brand? That's the reason you will see a lot of influencers, if you follow, you will see ads where they have to mention it in stories. So what happens is the moment you mention it in the story with the at a rate, the number of clicks, people who have gone beyond that click or have interacted, you would be able to get a complete analysis of that. So the reach, the impressions, people who have seen the number of stories, people who have basically gone onto the website after seeing the story, how many hashtags is it mentioned? That's the reason you have post, because again, hashtags comes into the picture in post mainly. And so, and further, I can even know what category of people are going or what a particular age group is it going. Is it a male female group that is going out, a higher percentage of male or higher percentage of female? And once I have it for my particular organization, I can obviously check the competitors also and do a comparison as to who has a higher share of voice in the brand awareness space. So now let's talk about the ROI or the return on investment. The return on investment is the key performance metric. So what does ROI mean? It is revenue generated minus cost of marketing divided by cost of marketing into 100. So that would give me the return on investment. That means how much am I investing and what is the return or what is the revenue that I'm generating in exchange of my investment. So if I say, again, going back to my cost of marketing is maybe 10,000 rupees, and while the revenue generated is maybe 20 lakhs. So when I divide basically 10,000 by 20 lakh, that means 2 divided by cost of marketing again would come down to 10,000. So 2 lakhs divided by 10,000. So it would be almost, you can say about 200% that would be there over there. So that is the how high the return of investment is when I'm checking. So please understand, where I'm talking about the share of voice, I was talking about only my brand space or my brand awareness. But when I'm talking about ROI and when I'm talking about CPC, I am talking about what is the value that I've generated for that customer. So when I'm talking about share of voice, like I said, it's brand space. So, and share of market again refers to sales. Here again, ROI refers to the revenue that is generated. So the higher the revenue generated also does not indicate that I have a higher market share. All three parameters are going to be slightly different for that matter. Then we have, so we have one ROI, which is the general ROI that we've calculated. Now we have something which is campaign attributable ROI, which caters to revenue earned organically. So sales growth minus average organic sales growth minus marketing cost. So sales growth minus average on organic sales growth minus marketing cost divided by the marketing cost into 100. So that will be my campaign attributable ROI. So sales growth is how much growth have I made over a specific period. Average on sales is what is the growth I've made in the organic sales speed and what is the marketing cost that is involved. So that gives me specifically grown when it caters to a campaign that I've ran over a period of time. But again, I have to consider a specific period of time to campaign the calculate the campaign attributable ROI. The same thing applies with ROI. Because the cost of marketing or the revenue generated has to be over a specific period of time. Challenges with marketing ROI. So what are the challenges that I have with marketing ROI? One is time period. Marketing is a long-term, multiple-touch process that leads to sales growth over time. Then month-over-month change used for simplicity stake is more likely to be spread over several months or even a year. As time goes by, sales growth will follow and the cumulative ROI of the campaign will start to look better. So marketing, as we all know, is a long-term activity where you have to continuously grow, strategize, re-strategize, and it is a chance that month over month I might continue changing my strategy, or I might introduce a new product, or in general, how is the market looking? So it could has to be initially it would be lower when I'm talking about maybe launching my brand or launching a product, but it the sales will go up over a period of time. So at that time, the individual ROI will not make sense, but the cumulative ROI over the year or over 2 years will start to look better, and then you'll understand whether the marketing campaign was really effective or not. And then when you'll have to calculate whether the cumulative ROI is showing the right ROI or is showing the right return on investment. Campaign objective. Many marketing campaigns are designed around more than just generating sales. Example, brand awareness via media mentions, social media likes, even the content output rate for the campaign. This spin-off benefits shouldn't be the core for the campaign because they cannot accurately measure in dollars. So that's another thing that we were talking about, that I might not run a campaign to generate revenue. When I talk about ROI or share of market, I'm talking about specifically sales, revenue, and those figures. But I could be doing it just to increase my brand awareness. I could be doing it to increase my social media likes to a particular number. So depends what is the key metrics for your campaign to be successful. This is going back to when we were talking about actually performing the entire analytical approach. When I spoke about the entire analytical approach, what am I talking about is what exactly is the metrics or the goal of my analysis. So it need not be sales or it need not be revenue. It could be just brand awareness. So that is again a benefit that I definitely need, but I cannot measure it except maybe growth in the numbers and not something that you do in dollars.